Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. We are thankful to have you join us. All of us at one time or another have dealt with depression. Too often, people who experience depression and are Christians are treated like they are bad people. That is not the case. They are not bad. They are sad and hurting. What we want to do tonight is look at what the Bible says about the healing process. We want to share the scriptures that tell us, as Christians, what can God do with us as we go through this? So, as we begin our broadcast, I want you to know that we thank you for your prayers and continued presence as we come together either during the live broadcast or later through the archives. We appreciate you faithfully listening. One thing that you can do to help us remain connected is to follow us on Blog Talk Radio by clicking Follow Us on the BTR screen and, of course, share the broadcast link with others. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this beautiful autumn evening?
Well, doing well, Jim. I thank you for that. In fact, what a blessing it is to be able to have this time as we join our listeners once again and looking at what the Bible has to say about what we deal with sometimes on a daily basis. Sometimes things just come into our lives that we need to face as believers. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, Christians who are dealing with depression. And I would like to say on the outset that I do think that that is something that the most spiritual person will face from time to time. I don't think it really becomes a question of spirituality unless you allow it to overwhelm you. And even then, it's more a matter of, you know, we get pushed away sometimes. We are hurting so badly we can forget for the strength of the grace of God. We have a tendency to maybe feel like, well, a lot of things help, but not with this, not right now. And that's hard and that's difficult. So one of the things we've done, you know, we have on the screen as you're, if you're on the internet, being a part of the program right now, you can look down below and you see where we have the little link where you can like, visit, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I've added another line just below that one that's simply labeled the Scriptures for Healing from Depression. Tonight, we're going to go through quite a few scriptures, and maybe you're sitting there thinking that, well, you know, I just don't know if I can get those down. I wish I'd written it down. I guess I'll have to play it back and go through all that. Or maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, I don't really have a Bible and don't know which one kind to get. And maybe there's just a lot of things going on in your life right now. So that link there, the Scripture for Healing from Depression, what we have there for you is we've simply taken the time to record the actual scriptures that we're talking about tonight. It doesn't have teaching. It doesn't have me laboring on in the background or anything like that. It's simply God's Word. And at the end of that recording, I'll say a prayer with you. So, you know, if you're, after hearing this program tonight, you're saying, well, you know, I just sort of would like to hear the scriptures again, or maybe we run out a little bit of time and you wish there was a little bit more, most likely we won't get to all the scriptures that we've pulled and want to use for this broadcast. They are all on that recording. Only takes you about 5 or 6 minutes to go through it. But it's something you could play again, and just let God's Word speak to you. So I think this is a serious matter. I think this is something that we deal with, we need some help with, and I hope that this would be a blessing and an encouragement for you. We just need to understand that God understands that we go through an awful lot of difficulty, and it's not like He's just leaving us out there hanging. He has a more effective way for us to walk. And are we going to hurt when we go through some very difficult times? Absolutely. In fact, you know, there's a wonderful passage that people frequently use at a memorial service when someone has gone to be with the Lord, and we're the ones that are sitting here feeling that loss. And the scripture is from Thessalonians and speaks of the fact is that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. And for many years, I've heard pastors use that passage, and they will say, so you see, as Christians, we don't experience grief that way. We are, you know, we have this joy. And what I have, in fact, learned over time is that it's true. We do have joy. We do have the grace of God working in our lives. But I believe that as a Christian, because we have known the love of God, because we have known forgiveness by God, I think we are also capable of a greater depth of hurt and pain when we feel a separation from that love. It's not that God is ineffective. It is not that we're doing something wrong. I think it's simply the fact that if you're capable of loving more, you can also feel the absence more. Now, when we have a loved one who's been born again, they go to be with the Lord, we know we will see them again. But in that moment that they have gone to be with the Lord, we can feel literally overwhelmed with their absence. And I hear people sometimes superficially say, well, you know where they're at, so why be upset? Because I miss them, that's why. Because I love them. Not past tense, but present tense. And to have your loved one suddenly not where you can just walk into the next room and sit down and talk with them, it hurts. And so I'm not trying to make you all depressed tonight, but I am trying to help you to understand that God has some things for us that can be a healing. And scriptures that talk about we are not alone, that we have His presence, and that we can experience the joy in Jesus Christ that is not superficial, but powerful in its scope of healing. He has a specific design for each and every person. And if there is a commonality that is unique to all believers, it is that He wants us to know Him, to walk with Him, and to have that joy, even in the most difficult of times. And yes, there is a time that we simply go through healing, and we need to go through that time with the expectation of coming out the other side with greater joy. So Jim, why don't we start the best of ways? Would you be kind enough to open our program in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get into those scriptures.
Heavenly Father, tonight we offer a prayer of thanksgiving and ask You for healing and joy for our listeners, for any hurt or pain they may be dealing with, or the circumstances they are dealing with. Too often, our experience says if we don't fix our problems ourselves, they will not get fixed. But Jesus taught us in Matthew 11:28, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and My burden is light. I think, Father, all you who are weary and burdened, I just wonder who does that leave out? No matter if we're Christian or we're hearing this kind of scripture for the first time, I believe, Father, that includes all of us. Teach us, Lord, to not rely on our abilities, but on Yours. We thank You that You are sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. You're with us. You know our needs and our desires. Lord, please superintend this program and give, I pray, Dr. Lyons the exact words You would have him deliver. And may those words help change the destiny and destination of a lost soul. And we make this prayer in the name of our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord, our Christ, and Your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. I do appreciate that. You know, I think I'm going to start off with a song that really pretty clearly says it for us. And that's Psalm 34, verse 17. And that scripture simply says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all of their troubles." And that's important for us to understand. Because there are people that say, well, if you're Christian, you're not supposed to be sad. If you're a Christian, you're not supposed to ever have a sad day or ever shed a tear. Well, look, here's God's word telling us the righteous cry. But he also tells us that the Lord hears, and he will deliver us out of all of our troubles. Jim, as you hear that, what does it say to you?
Two things, Pastor, mm-hmm. At least two. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. He's listening to us. Doesn't that amaze you?
Yes.
Here is the creator of the universe, and we are one of his creations, and he heareth us. Now, and deliver them out of all their troubles. Now, when I first heard you say that, I thought, delivereth them out of all their troubles. Oh, okay, just lob a prayer up to heaven, and that trouble's gone. No. We've taught, and you've taught us, Pastor, that it's in God's perfect timing. There may be purpose, and correct me if I'm wrong here, it may be a certain purpose he's trying to build in you or me where he's not going to deliver us out of those troubles this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
But he will do it. He promises here. So it's to grow us up in the likeness of Christ, as you've taught us. It's to condition us, prepare us for whatever our purpose is, and we all have that purpose. So all of that shot through my mind a lot quicker than I just said it.
No, but you know, so often I have seen people go through the loss of a loved one, and in the process, they've had the opportunity to witness to people, sometimes not even family members, just total strangers. Maybe while they're at the hospital coming towards the end, I've seen people that have witnessed to office work, hospital workers and even hospice care workers. I've seen people where you're going through difficulty. Maybe your loved one doesn't pass away, but you're going through a great deal of sickness. And here you are in the waiting room waiting for yet another test to take place. And while you're there, you find someone who's obviously hurting more than you are because they're having to do it without Christ. And you have the opportunity to present the gospel. Or maybe another Christian, and you have a chance to pray with them and encourage them. It's amazing to me that as believers, as we go through the troubles that we will be delivered out of eventually, that sometimes we're being used in remarkable ways. You know, if we go into those situations thinking, all right, I won't have to go through it because he said he'd deliver us, you know, we miss the opportunity to be greatly used of God. And we miss the opportunity to see just how much he can love us in the depth of that pain. You know, it's amazing. I can look back at and recall times that I found people who had a greater heart, a greater depth of compassion. And I probably wouldn't have seen it any other time except to see what they were going through at the moment. I could see the love of Christ in them because of how they were able to go through and deal with the situation. And that is pretty remarkable. Jim, I'm going to read the next passage, but I'm going to ask you to take the first look at it and share what's on your heart after I read it. So pay attention. Here we go with Isaiah 43, verse 2. I love the prophet Isaiah. I think he has an incredible depth, what God puts through his life. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What's that say to you, Jim?
First, I'm just looking at the word passest through the waters. I'm not going to drown. I'm not going to be washed downstream. When thou passest through the waters, that's It tells me that I am going to arrive on the other side. I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Again, I'm protected. And through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So what I'm seeing is, no matter what I'm going through, I am protected. And it just, it's amazing, because whatever that is, just like you said earlier, there's purpose in it. And so I don't know that I can smile yet when I'm going through things, but I think I can look back on things and say, I wonder what he's trying to teach me. I wonder what he's using me for, if it's to help someone else. And I just wonder, Pastor, and I'll phrase it in the form of a question, will it be known to me when I get to heaven, Jim, here's where I used you. You remember that guy that you helped, or you remember when you spoke that kindly? And, you know, will we have those times that we made our Heavenly Father smile? Will that, all of that be revealed to us, do you think?
You know, I think it will. And my rationale for that belief is not based in a scripture where God's word says, and Jesus comes to you and said, remember that time when? Yeah, I don't see that. But I think just knowing our nature, I can imagine going to heaven and seeing a Bible study teacher I'd had years ago and the influence he had on my life, Guy Fuller, wonderful, wonderful man of faith. And I think if I could see him, that one of the first things I'd do is just go to him and once again express the profound love and appreciation I have for him and the influence he's been on my life. You know, if I see my uncle, I'd love to go there and tell him, I said, you know, you are what I know of being a Christian gentleman. Or teachers that I could go back to and think of Dr. Melton and mm-hmm. think of, you sowed seed that helped me through such times. So I think just back on the fact of, as believers, we are grateful. We tend to appreciate the people who have touched our lives. So I think there'll be a lot of homecoming going on. You know, I sometimes think maybe that's why mm-hmm. there is a marriage supper of the Lamb. It's because he knows we're going to need some time just to sit down and talk and share and go through that process.
Right.
Maybe that's why we get 1,000 yeah. years before we even start eternity. It's just like, you know, you get that many Baptists in one place, it's going to take them that long just to say hello. So let alone sit down. But yeah, I really do believe that. And one other thing I noticed in this passage, as you were talking and discussing, it struck me that almost every one of those situations didn't say, I'll walk you around, didn't say, I will exclude. He says, you know, as you go through the flame, as you go through the water. So we go through some stuff as Christians. Make no mistake about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it also says, right. God's word, forgive me, not it, but God's word says that he'll take us through it, that we do not face it alone, that we do have that comfort, and that's remarkable. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I think I have heard songs revolve around that phrase, but joy cometh in the morning. I have known people that just camp out on that piece of the verse. And I have known the nights where it seemed like the darkness went on forever. And yes, anger and pain and hurt and weeping was definitely there. But he's right. There is a sense of joy and peace. For me, it's almost been like when I start to come through those moments when someone is hurting, when a loved one's in the hospital, when you're faced with decisions that there just doesn't seem to be an answer for, you come out almost in a sense of quietness. It sort of reminds me, I used to live on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and I know sometimes after a particularly bitter storm or something like that, just to walk out to the water's edge, and there was a quietness, a stillness. You know, there was a stillness in the water prior to the storm. There was a stillness to it after the storm. And it's like in that moment, God knows you need quiet right now. You need time to rest and to refresh. And joy really does come in the morning. After the darkness of the storm has passed, you need that time just to lean on God, to feel his presence. There's nothing unmanly or a lack of strength and courage just to say, God, I love you, I need you, can I just stay here for a little bit? I just need this time with you. How do you love somebody and not want to spend time with them?
And once you've known the love of Christ, how do you know that love without falling in love with Him fresh? Every time you open the Word of God, every time you feel His presence and He does something in your life, and you feel it, and you're grateful for it. Jim, what do you think? What's your experience?
Well, Pastor, you said when for His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. And I wonder, we talked earlier about the flood and the fire and the river. Would you say, and this just popped in my head again, and maybe somebody else, probably in Tibet or maybe Istanbul, but anyway, somebody else might have this question. Are most of our rivers and fire and flood, is most of that interpersonal relationships, or is it sickness? Is it some other form of depression? It seems like what hurts us the most is our relationships. What would you think as a percentage? How close would that be to the majority?
I, without any hesitation, would say the answer is yes. What I mean by that is that if you're going through an interpersonal relationship and it's hurting, it's difficult, maybe argument with another person that you care about, maybe loss of a loved one that's so precious to you, and yes, again, they're with the Lord, but they're not with you right now, and that hurts. There's no question around it. But by the same token, sometimes the stressors come from finances, maybe a change in job, maybe the storm has come and there's damage to your home and you don't know where you're going to be for the next few months while you try to rebuild. Maybe you have the funding to rebuild. Maybe you're wondering where that will even come from. So those events that we experience also in turn create stress in the relationships. Whether you're facing it seemingly alone, or whether you've got loved ones around you, or just other people that are supposedly there to help, and sometimes they just sort of get on your nerves because they just keep plowing ahead when you're needing some time to process. And other times you need them to break you free from the process and get moving again. So in other words, as we go through and endure, sometimes it's all interpersonal because you're dealing with people and you're dealing even with your own heart. But sometimes the reason we're dealing with them is the circumstance, is the finances, is the timing, is the weather. So I say yes because I think it's truly a mixture of all those things together that come into play. Even when we feel like I'm facing this alone, I'm all alone, where how can I be this alone? And then suddenly you realize you're not totally alone. Some of the not alones are the ones that are part of your problem. Some of your not alones are people that God is putting into position to help you through it. Sometimes it's the people that have loved you, cared for you, trying to hear, but you are hurting so much you just can't accept it just yet. Think of it this way. You have a injury. You go to the emergency room, and eventually you're fortunate enough to have a doctor come in to try to help you. And maybe what's involved is they have to, eventually what they have to do is maybe set a bone, or, you know, they have to, you've had a gauze bandage on it that you put in there in an emergency. Now they've got to peel that back so they can get to the problem. Guess what? There's pain associated with that. You know, setting a bone hurts. I mean, especially if it's had time to sit in the wrong position for a while. You know, years ago, I had a situation where a bone went out in the wrong position, and without even thinking, I just reached up and popped it back in place. Then I felt pain, you know. But at the moment, it was just like, oh, that's not supposed to be that way. Pop, you know. Then pain. And I've had other times where I've known people that, you know, they get taken to an emergency room, and then they have to reset the bone. And agony ensues. And you're wanting relief from the pain, and it seems like they're causing you pain. But as adults, we understand, no, I've got to have this in order to really get well. I think weeping may endure for a night or for a moment, but joy will come in the morning, because the healing begins in the process of coming through the pain. And as we move to the other side, it's going to take some healing, but it does come.
That may be the long answer to a short question, but...
Well, you know, you've just brought up another question. This is a couple times now we've heard the word joy. One time, I remember several years ago, didn't you make a distinction between temporary, which is happiness, and joy, which is long-lasting? Isn't that a contrast? Wasn't it deliberately picked in this scripture to indicate something greater than just happiness, which is temporary?
Absolutely so. I mean, sometimes we talk about happy and happiness, and, you know, you see somebody who's just walking around all the time, just laughing and cutting up, and you're not too sure about that person. You know, if you're at an accident scene and you see that, you know, unless they've got, you know, somebody they're really upset with, you know, in the accident, it's pretty good confidence that this person is in shock and trauma and they need some help. See, happy can be very short-lived. Happy, you know, think of it this way. Happy is like, you know, fireworks. Happy is like a burst. You get the present and you peel back the wrapping paper and you pop the top off and you see what's in there. That's a happy moment. But after you've had it for a while, happy has gone away. You've got the item, you're happy with it, but you've sort of moved on to other things and you're still happy it's there. You don't want it to go away. But the feeling of the excitement of peeling back the labels and popping it open and seeing it for the first time, it's come and it's gone. Joy comes with anticipation of it arriving. Joy arrives and you're thrilled, and joy continues on. Because joy is very realistic. Joy says, yeah, I know your days aren't that easy. I know it's tough sometimes. Sometimes a lot of times. But as you face this, joy says to you, you're not alone. God is with you. You've got assurance that he's going to stay with you as you walk through it. And on the other side, he's going to be there to not only help you in the healing process, but to celebrate, to, you know, really feel some excitement at the end, knowing it was good to go through this. It wasn't easy, but I feel confidence of what I've learned and as I came out the other side. You know, see, that's joy. It's also a little acronym if you think about it. We've used it before. Jesus, others, you. If you put your focus first on Jesus, first on what God is doing in your life, that gets you immediately out of the trauma, the shock, and says, all right, I need the Lord. And then you start thinking of others and, all right, how has this impacted those around me? Maybe I can start being concerned to make sure they're all right. And then finally you get to yourself, and by the time you get to yourself, you're actually feeling pretty good about the relationship that you built with Christ and the satisfaction of knowing you were able to help some others along the way. And suddenly, you don't feel the initial shock of pain like you did at the start. So I think joy makes a great acronym for the treatment of a difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first Jesus, then help with others, and then you find that strength in yourself that you didn't really know you had to start with. It's pretty inspiring. Tell you what, Jim, why don't you look at 1 Peter 4:12 and 3, read that to our listeners, and then share what's on your heart as you go through it.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. What when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. There's that word joy again. Pastor, the things that come to mind is, first, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. It kind of tells me, hey, you're not the Lone Ranger, as we used to say. Mm-hmm. Others are having this same trial. And I like it because a fiery trial, that modifies the word trial. So it's not just, let's just test you. This is a serious test. And as though some strange thing happened to you, it's not unusual. Others are going through this. but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. This would take more pondering for me because I've seen this scripture before. I'm not clear on exactly what that means, why partakers of Christ's suffering is something that I should be rejoicing about. But I do remember how the disciples, they were told not to preach any longer about Jesus. And they beat them and sent them on their way, and they went rejoicing after taking a beating because they got to partake in Christ's suffering. So I think it's leading me to believe that that is an honor, that it helps me be part of the glory that I can't attain on my own, but that Jesus Christ is offering me. Pick up my cross and follow him, there will be trials. So I think it's along those lines that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And there's that word again. Now it's modified. It's not just joy. It's exceeding joy. So it's past joy. And that has to be really, really big. And then, Pastor, it also reminds me, I believe it was Dr. Charles Stanley in Atlanta, who said, he said, view everything that comes into a Christian, and this differentiates us from those that haven't accepted Christ yet, view everything that comes into a Christian's life as either being sent by God or allowed by God. There's his permissive will, allowed by God, not for maliciousness, he said, but to grow us up. Grow us up, we're kids, we're children, in the likeness of Christ. So I think it puts that vision in my mind that being Christ-like, building us up in the likeness of Christ, is most likely the most powerful goal and most prestigious goal a person can have on this planet. Is that close, Pastor?
That's very good. By the way, my first commending you on the fact that you reach out for spiritual truth by going to Pastor's Name Charles. Yes, that's a good start. Brother Stanley is a wonderful, wonderful Bible teacher for which we're very thankful. But, you know,
yes.
Think for a moment. One of the goals, once we become born again, we become a Christian, is to be like Christ. You know, I think it's good for us to remember the little scripture that refers to the fact and that we were first called Christians at Antioch. And that label was not a label mm-hmm. that we picked up our own. It was a label that was put on us by lost people. They looked at those early believers and the way they dealt with stress, the way they dealt with others, even the way they cared about total strangers and tried to reach out to them. And they said, wow, that was just the same way that that man Jesus Christ was. And so the connection was made not by us declaring, I'm a Christian. It was declared by lost people looking at other believers, our early ancestors, and saying, that's what Jesus was like. And so they were called Christians because they were Christ-like. And so for us as Christians, born-again people, to live this life, we need to realize, first of all, we want to respond like Christ would. But also, it would do us well to remember how the world treated Christ. They did not openly welcome him and say, oh, how wonderful. No, they tried to crucify him and eventually did when he gave himself willingly. So I think you carry that in your mind for a moment and now come to this passage. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Okay? When the Son of God came to this earth, they rejected him, they beat him, they tried to imprison him, and they took him to a cross for execution. We're identifying with him. Is it so strange if we identify ourselves with him, if we walk with him and we begin to reflect him, is it such a strange thing for it to happen unto you or to us, as the scripture would tell us? It says, when that happens, then you should rejoice about it. Why? Because you're partaker of Christ's suffering. So that doesn't mean we're this weird lot that says, oh, good, hit me again. No, what it means is that we, when we're persecuted, we stop and realize in the moment, I'm unworthy to be compared to him because he is the Son of God. And I think of all the things he always got right, and I, on my best day, try to get things right. And I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. But if the world can look at me and they respond to me, maybe out of anger, or they want to hurt me, and the reason they're doing it is because they see Christ in me, yeah, that's the reason to rejoice. It means I got it right. I wasn't trying to offend them, but for somebody who has turned their back on God and turned their back on Christ and want nothing to do with the gospel, and they see you or I and say, I can't take one more dose of Christianity, and that's all they are. You see, you in that moment, it's like Christ is standing there. And then he says in the scripture that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. He's saying when Christ comes back, when it's revealed, this relationship, then have some joy over the fact that you walked with him. You know, think of it like a soldier comes back from war. And he's a hero. He was victorious. He was highly decorated. You're honored to meet him. You know, and he comes into the room. He's going to speak to maybe your group or your organization. And as he does, he sees some of the soldiers that had served at the same time in the same area. And he just reaches over them, puts their arm around them, and says, so glad to see you. You see, you immediately connected and identified with a man who's gone through the fire and has been acknowledged that, yes, he was the hero. And suddenly you share in that identification because you did go through the same fire, you see? And so for that soldier, there is a sense of peace and joy that they were counted to stand beside that hero because even the hero acknowledged we came through this together. Christ went through the cross. I don't have to go to the cross. I benefit from the sacrifice he's already given, and any person who calls on him benefits from that. But if for some reason I'm called to go through earthly fires, earthly challenges, earthly insults and degrading, in the process of doing that, if I'm doing it because people see Christ in me, that's one thing. If they see it because I'm just a klutz and I'm messing up, that's my own fault. But if in doing it, it's because they can see Christ in me and they find that offensive, that there should be an element of joy to that. That as much as it hurts, and it does hurt, it's this idea, at least it's for the right reasons. People look at me, and like that soldier that also went through the battle, they can identify with the hero. Well, then I can identify with Christ at a different level because I went through some stuff nowhere near on his scale, but enough of it that people could see him in me. That's pretty good. That's not a bad thing. You know, Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says this, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. In other words, there's a special appointment being given to those that are feeling this loss. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. So what we're reading, the prophet is telling us that there's going to come a time that, okay, believer, you've known loss. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's just the experiences you're going through that hurt so much. He's telling you there is an appointment to take away the ashes and to give you beauty for those, to bring healing oil to the time of mourning that you're experiencing. He'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what he's swapping out, that they might be called trees of righteousness. You don't feel very stable when you've just been hit broadsided with bad news about a family member or a friend. And he's saying, I'll make you like trees. You'll be the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So in us, in the moment that we go through that devastation, he is assuring us that, look, I'll be your foundation. I'll be your root system. I'm going to take away the heaviness and I'll give you healing oil to restore you, to bless you, to encourage you. Jim, as you look at that verse, whatever that perhaps God has laid on your heart about it, feel free to share it. But as you do it, would you also take our listeners through, maybe this is a person who's, they've heard about this, they've faced loneliness, but they've never known what it is to have the support of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if there's something on this verse you want to share, do so, but by the same token, take them to Christ. Take them to how they can be saved. Jim?
Thank you, Pastor. I think the word righteousness is jumping out at me, that we've already fouled up. We're not going to get 100 on this test, but God has created a way that we can, the smartest person in the class, we're going to get to look at their paper and cheat off of it. But righteousness, I think, is such a powerful word here, and I think of that, and then I think of how we talk about, if you are feeling the Holy Spirit move in your heart tonight, and maybe you've felt it before, but you know that knocking, it'll go away if you just think about other things. But you've reached the point, facing a divorce, lost my job, I don't have the money to pay for my rent, I have tried to do everything in my own strength, and just as we opened the program, we talked about how we are not equipped. We are not designed to handle all that life is going to throw at us. So God sees that. God knew that, and He provided a way. And that way is imputed, I think is the word, Pastor, you use, imputed righteousness. Means I don't have righteousness, but I'm going to allow Jesus' righteousness to be counted for you. You don't deserve it. Jesus didn't do anything wrong, and He died for your sins. So we would refer you to Romans. In the book of Romans, it's chapter 10, I think, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, I'm ready for a change. I know I haven't done right. I want to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In just a short verse, you've heard God say, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord. And that God hath raised Him from the dead. We rush by that so often and so quickly. It's amazing to me that He raised Him from the dead. Oh, okay. That is miraculous. He raised Him from the dead. That means that we no longer have to fear death, and that we never die. Our souls never die. I think that's refreshing. And thou shalt be saved. So those two things, the Lord Jesus in your life, and you believe God raised Him from the dead, if you believe that tonight, you're saved. You're saved. And it goes on in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto, there's that word again, righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You've got to confess. I've gone the wrong way. I've done it Jim's way. I want to do it your way. Oh, by the way, you created me. And as men, we seldom want to read the owner's manual. Let me figure it out on my own. And God says, all right, Jim, you're so smart. You go ahead. Well, I did. And I fouled up. I messed up. But when I accepted Christ, it changes your life. You'll never, ever be the same. And Pastor, would you just follow it up and tell them, can I lose my salvation? I have done this tonight. And by the way, we would love for you to send us a note, askthepastornow.com, or you can send it to ask@askthepastornow.com. Just say, I got saved tonight. But Pastor, can we ever lose our salvation? Can anything wrest that away from us?
Absolutely not, and for the best of reasons. But we're not the ones who provided the salvation. So if we had done it, you know, that it'd be man-made. I mean, halfway, about half the people who got salvation would be getting a factory recall. The reality is, no, this was God's plan. It was the perfect sacrifice, God's Son, Jesus Christ. the very Spirit of God sealed you at the moment of salvation. It cannot be taken away. So if it's God who brought it, provided it, designed it, sealed it, no way are you going to lose it. That's the amazing thing about it. It is God's salvation, God's forgiveness. Think about it. He's the one you offended to start with by sin. So how can you lose it when he's the one who gave it and he's the one who did the forgiving? You see, you can't snatch back forgiveness. Once it's given, it's there. So that's pretty exciting. You know, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, we just pause there for a moment. As we go through things, sometimes we just have to wait in the stillness of the moment. When you're feeling so drained, so shot, and then just to wait on him and feel that strength renewed, because that's his promise. Doesn't hurt to quote and pray this verse back to him. He's going to renew our strength. By the way, you can't see it unless maybe you're playing that video back later. They that wait upon the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the English, the translators brought specific Hebrew or Greek words where you're at in the Bible into the English, and they spelled them specific ways so you could tell which word it came from. In the case in the Old Testament, when you see that all caps, L-O-R-D, it's telling you that the Hebrew word that's used there means that he is God, he was God, he is God, and will continue to be God. And so what you're reading about there has been true in the past, it's true the moment you're reading it, and will continue to be true regardless. So they that wait upon the Lord, what kind of Lord? The one who doesn't change, the same yesterday, today, and forever, shall renew their strength. So that's a promise we can count on, and it doesn't have a time limit on it. So it's not a case, well, I know that worked for Isaiah, I don't know if it's going to work for me. No, it works. It works right today. It will work years from now. Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So this is the jogger that doesn't get exhausted. This is the runner who doesn't grow tired. This is the bird who never lands because his wings are powerful and refreshed. And they just gracefully, powerfully going out there. Reminds me of some years ago, I was up on a little country road in an area where there were eagles that in that area because it had some high winds in the area. And I'm coming down this little dark road and a lot of shade coming across, and I saw something in the road, so I brought the car to a stop and wasn't going that fast to start with. And I was trying to figure out what it was at first. It didn't even, just seemed like some big thing in front of me. And suddenly that big thing that looked like a rock in the road suddenly swung out wings left and right and began moving forward and took one, two, three flaps of those wings, and suddenly they just went airborne. It was an amazing sight to see this very large eagle just suddenly go into the air and begin grabbing the air currents, and with such relaxed ease begin to gain altitude. We're going to run and not be weary. We're going to walk and not be faint. Why? Because we waited on God and he renewed our strength. That's what God does for us. That is the power of what he can do for us. Again, Jim, your thoughts?
I love this verse, and someone is kind enough near one of the churches in the medical center
mm-hmm.
to have a poster that reads this as we're doing the marathon, and it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." To me, that's like two words, really,
mm-hmm.
re and new. In other words, I had it at one time, but now it needs to be renewed because it's tarnished or out of gas or however we want to say it. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and I think you gave us a beautiful image of that. And I think we've all seen National Geographic where that eagle dips down, how he does this, hundreds of feet high, and he dives down and claws that salmon and goes up in the air in a beautiful mountain scene. just reading these words, it suddenly just kind of surges through you, and it just gives you the strength to say, I'm going to keep going. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. And I think about the Israelites in the desert, Pastor. You remember, their feet didn't hurt. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They were clothed in the righteousness of God, and He took care of them. And so this just makes me feel like, as when I stepped out in faith and I accepted Jesus Christ, I said, I will never be the same. I said it earlier. You are never the same. You feel it. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that you can say, well, Jim's a touchy-feely guy. No. But this was real. This is real. And thank God it will always be real. There is something. It's that feeling we can't understand. We can't communicate it. Why? Because it's godly. And you have to step out in faith. And many times, Pastor, I think what holds them back is they don't feel something quite like what we describe. But when it happens, when you just say, all right, I think they're crazy, I'm going to try it, and you step out, your life will never be the same. And then you can look at it and say, let me hear you now try to describe how you feel and what you're going through, and that comfort that comes over to say, this earth, this is not all there is to my life. I'm going to live long. I'm going to continue even after death. And my Lord gave me a victory over death. So let's say I reject it. Do you have a better plan? Is there something else? I can't even imagine, Pastor, what others might think. But thank God He gives us the perfect answer. But it requires we do something. And we've said it before. It seems easy, but it wasn't easy for Christ. It's easy. Step out in faith. I can't prove it. I'm just going to do it. And when you do, the Holy Spirit will take over, and then you'll understand so much more. You'll have a peace that passes understanding. Right, Pastor?
So very, very true. So He takes us through these moments. It is glorious moments. We start off by saying we deal with depression. We face it. And what are we going to do with it? First of all, no, it's not God trying to hurt us. It's our hearts and minds and bodies trying to get around the loss, the pain, because of sin in this world. And we have to be able to recover back from it. If it's a lost loved one, and again, I don't like the word lost because they have gone to be with the Lord, and there's that piece of that, but there's also the sense of absence and healing that has to take place. If it's loss of stuff, stuff can be replaced, but you say, but you don't know, it won't be the same. That's true. God can do amazing things to make things even better. But here's what you need to understand. We start by accepting the fact that God so loved us. And we start this process of realizing how He will heal us, that we will mount up with joy. We will spread those wings. We will soar again. We will have the power of God in our hearts and minds and lives again. We can move from depressed to refreshed. This is not a name it and claim it religion. This is the fact that God works on our hearts, and the sooner and quicker and stronger that we're willing to look to Him and acknowledge in Him, the better off we will be. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 really start to touch on this. Blessed, in other words, happy be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And then I'm hurting and I'm depressed, I need mercy. And the God of all comfort, when I am depressed, I want to be comforted. I want to be told, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get you through this. And believe it or not, that's what I just heard in this verse. Blessed be God, not happy is God. Why? The Father of Jesus Christ, the God, the creator of everything. He is the creator of mercy and the creator of all comfort. That's who is bringing you healing and comfort. The verse continues, says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. When the worst stuff that comes in, not just, you know, well, maybe this day is bad and an inconvenience, but boy, that other day, that was trembling. It was horrible.
No, not just in the mildest of days, not in the most extreme of days, but in all of our days of difficulty and tribulation. He's going to comfort us, heal us from the depression. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So in other words, as you come out the other side of this horrible experience that you just are convinced there's no answer for, first of all, there is an answer. It is Jesus Christ. It is God the Father. It is the comfort of the very Spirit of God from within you. It's nice to think about it. He's going to work from the inside and the outside at the same time. And realize that he will comfort us through the tribulation, all kinds of tribulation, to the end that having come through it, and knowing that he did it, and knowing he was capable, now there's no doubt in your mind that, yes, he can take me through this, even this worst-case scenario. Then when I find others who say they're hurting, and you just don't know how bad it is, and you're sitting there saying, oh, actually, I do. I've been through that and worse. And then you look at that and say, he brought me through it. I know he can bring you through it. So I'm ready to share that with you. And how will I do it? By the very comfort wherewith we've been comforted of God. That's what God's word is telling me. That I can be healed by his grace, and once I experience that healing, I can turn around and help the other person who is hurting. You know, Jim, that's what happens when we share the gospel with somebody who needs to know about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We don't tell them about something we don't know about. We don't tell them about something we haven't experienced. We share the gospel because he saved us. So we know he can save you. If he saved us, he can handle you. And guess what? If I'm depressed, if I'm hurting, I know he can help you too, because he has helped me and he has got me through this. You're not going to face this alone, and you're not doing something that's untried. So I'm not handing you a parachute that says this ought to work. I'm handing you something that says, I know it's worked. I've seen it work. I've used one myself. Right. See, there's a big difference there. You have a final closing thought as our time starts to run away from us again?
Well, Pastor, I'll try to keep this short. But, you know, when my daughters, when Joe or Ashley says, Dad, or as Ashley says, Jim Bob, my car won't start, or I have a flat, or Ashley needs to go to the airport tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Do you think for a minute that it bothers me and I go, oh, come on, man? You know, no, it makes me feel so good that they need me, that they want me. And I just feel like, Pastor, what you're describing here is God has given us everything. He wants us to be dependent on him, to rely on him, and he wants us to talk to him. Come on. He created us, and yet we may go weeks and never even throw a prayer up. He desires a personal, intimate relationship, is my parting remark.
Well, that is so very true, because that is precisely what he wants. Just want to take one more moment to remind you all that we also have, as I said before, have taken these scriptures and put them on a little video you can go and see again and listen to. And that's just below the screen there. You'll see right where it says, please like, visit, subscribe. You also have a second line down there for the scriptures for healing for depression or from depression. So feel free to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And by all means, Lord willing, join us again next week on Ask the Pastor Now. Good night, Jim.
Good night, Pastor. Thank you for teaching us. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.